Sepsis, or the infection causing sepsis, starts before a patient goes to the hospital in nearly 87% of cases. Sepsis is a medical emergency. If you or your loved one has an infection that's not getting better or is getting worse, act fast. Get medical care immediately. Ask your healthcare professional, could this infection be leading to sepsis? And if you should go to the emergency room. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, Real Paranormal Activity is proud to present The Sandman Lullaby with your host, Patrick Sean Jones.
How y'all doing? You are in the Sandman Lullaby here on RPA. That's Real Paranormal Activity. As always, I like to thank each and every one of you duders out there that happened to hit that button and say, hey, I want to see what's going on in the land of dreams. And yes, as always, we are talking about dreams. But let me introduce my guest. Actually, I have a guest live in the studio. Usually it sucks when I have somebody on the phone and usually the volume level really reeks. But actually, I dragged him all the way from, I think it was, is it Mississippi?
Oh, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania? Wow.
Well, I'm a local here.
Well, you're a local. Get closer to that microphone. You actually got to get close to that
Good
microphone.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you got to talk kind of deep that way.
Yes.
Yes, you gotta. You're soft spoken. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is Donnie King.
Good evening.
Donnie King is a composer.
Yes, that's correct.
And you've been composing for a good number of years now.
14.
So why don't you tell me some background information about yourself, because maybe some people haven't heard of you, and maybe, you know...
Maybe a lot.
I don't know. No, I'm not saying it that way. No, but you've been composing for a while, so tell me a little about yourself before we start getting into the realm of dreams.
Sure. Well, I'm an American. I was born in Florida, and I'm very patriotic. And I'm also more confident and more dedicated to my art. I'm trying to actually just get myself out there. That's pretty much it.
And you've been in a number of bands.
Oh yeah, but I don't like the count.
Yeah.
Until I can't get along with other musicians, I just start writing things myself.
Yeah, but we're all getting older, so
yeah,
that's the one thing about it. So let's talk about dreams.
Dreams.
First of all, where do you think we go to where do you think you go to when you dream?
Well, it depends on which level of consciousness I explore at the time. If my dream is exhausted or exercised or drug-induced, it depends. I don't know. I used to dream a lot. Actually, I haven't had many dreams that were pleasant. Only one wet dream in my life. And the rest were pretty much nightmares.
Okay, well, we're going to go into the nightmares in a second, but let's go back to the artificial influence to your dreams. Okay, compared to when you were younger, when you indulged in probably certain substances.
Of course.
And right now, because I know you changed your life and you're totally sober.
Yes.
And
correct.
What do you notice the difference between your dream lens, between being influenced by certain substances and being sober?
Oh, that's a very good question. Usually when I'm influenced by substances, I like to exhaust myself before I go to sleep so I don't have so many nightmares. Definitely now that I'm sober, I dream a lot more often, but the nocturnal emissions haven't continued.
You're still sticking on the nocturnal.
I've only had one and they're really great.
I haven't heard nobody complain about nocturnal emissions. So, unless you're waking up and you got to go do the laundry real quick before your mom finds out, so you know that can be a problem at times.
It makes all the difference, really. I wake up in bad moods a lot, you know, depending on how rough and tough my dreams get. I have a lot of dreams about natural disaster. I don't know, holes opening up in the earth and swallowing me, or tornadoes, or plane crashes. Anything from drowning and actually passing through to see myself, it's kind of strange.
Well, how do you travel in your dreams?
I'm not really travel, but I usually fall. I fell, I had a dream one time, I fell through a 747, and now I was falling amidst a bunch of burning people with me, and that's kind of different. I don't know, I guess I could say I was in the Midwest, I seen cornfields before I hit the ground.
What about your nightmares?
That is a nightmare, I guess. I have a lot of those. Sometimes a natural disaster, tornado, holes, like a sinkhole opening in the earth, and I get dragged into it, or I'm trying to help somebody out, and they pull me in, kind of thing. I don't know. It's a lot. A lot of stuff that I paved over. You know, if I woke up in a bad mood, I just try to forget about it. You know, but it's always sure to continue. Never usually the same dream twice.
Do you have you ever astral projected before?
I've had out of body experiences. That's what you mean.
Okay, explain that to me. How do you actually work your way from the beginning to the end? How you actually experience these?
Once was during an orgasm, and that was actually safe and comforting. I actually floated in the room and saw myself and saw what was going on above above head surfaces and things like that. And I was really comfortable. Another time, I saw the back of my own head. And I remember someone asking me if I was okay to drive. And I felt like I was being carried away, like weightless, into the sky. And I thought maybe my spirit had left that one time. I'd put myself through a lot of hell. So it was one hell of an experience, though. But it's sort of what had solidified a very spiritual sense of self and things like that, where actually I felt separated from my body and mind for once, and it wasn't really comforting at all.
Was this, have you had reoccurring dreams with the same kind of context?
No, I was actually conscious when these things happened.
So you had a waking dream?
I guess so, is what you call.
Well, you have the waking dream, and you have, you know, when you're in your dream lens, and one can complement the other. And
I guess that's when my brain was being nice to me that day.
What about meeting people in your dreams?
They're all faceless.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Or it's that I'm my attention's always dragged to towards the ground or to another point or subject matter in the dream, and I'm not really looking at them, but I know them by name sometimes. If I'm dreaming about a certain person, I know who it is. I don't really need to look at them, but I never really make eye contact with people in my dreams at all.
Really? What do you think that might mean?
I'm not sure. The only time really I've had a dream about a person and I see their face was my mother in a sinkhole, and I went to go help her out, and she pulled me in and started cleaning house while I was...
Well, I'm sorry to say Donnie's mother just passed away recently.
Yeah. Yep, she passed away, and she's in a better place now, for lack of a better adjective. But yeah, in January she passed, and she was a really big part of my life and part of my, genetically inherited artistic abilities as well. So yeah, good muse laid to rest there. But I'm glad she's not suffering anymore. I don't have dreams about her sickness or necessarily. That's the only dream I've really had about her. Yeah.
Well, that leads it into this. Wait, alive or dead, is there anybody you would like to meet inside your dreams?
Not necessarily. It's always everybody's always a victim of circumstance or the weather, and my dreams are a natural disaster. So it's usually people running, and I'm joining them in a group to huddle somewhere that's not safe. Yeah, it's crazy.
So what do you think about, do you have any certain dreams or one that brings you right to mind right now that might have changed your influence of how you look at the world nowadays?
Not really. I remember having a dream about a white tea party, but tornadoes came to destroy it.
Tell me about that. Do you remember anything about that?
I remember.
Okay,
let me know. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just sitting... Orange groves outside of a darkening sky inside of this tea room. It's kind of country clubbish. Everybody's wearing nice clothes. And I don't really notice myself or what I'm wearing, but I notice how very pristine and cleanly the place is. And then the blackest of clouds form this funnel or vortex and comes and tears the room apart. And it's in smithereens as it's passing by. I seem to witness the whole event unharmed. And I'm not really being pulled into a flow or sucked into a tide, but everything is being destroyed before me. And their nice little tea party and chateau is being, demolished or destroyed. I'm not sure if that's symbolic or how was I to feel, really. I'm not sure. It was just frightening.
So how did you feel when you woke up?
I was frightened, sweating. It put me in a pretty bad mood for the rest of the day. It wasn't a good day that day. That dream was nearly 13 years ago. I still remember it like it was yesterday.
So have you been able to control your dreams
at
all?
No, not at all.
So everything comes natural to you?
Yeah, anytime I try to fight, it's not hard enough. Anytime I try to run, it's not fast enough. Anytime I try to take shelter from a storm, I'm like stuck with kids or, it's kind of strange. And then I'm like in a rickety kind of shack. I remember this one dream. I was following a school bus of kids running, and they're running from a tornado or something that was coming near, and they're running into these, little matchbox types of shelter, and I still, it's the only place to go, so I followed them, and, places get torn apart and shot clear across, the horizon, or, usually to actually land floating like a feather, not really hard, like hit the ground and
it's not like how everybody says when they fall.
Oh, well, I've had those too. When I've had the fall and I hit the ground and I wake up and the bed shakes. Yeah, quite traumatic. I think it's just my mind's way of dealing with trauma, maybe. And it sort of takes it out of the context of where I really experienced trauma through maybe abuse or drug abuse, self-abuse, or how I really viewed the world. I really don't know. It's just as real as anything else, but, I hate to be caught up in all that. But it's definitely a great experience, I've never really seen a tornado in real life. I've never really been a part of a sinkhole tragedy or seen many hurricanes, but never really much harm came from those. But these dreams are really took the place of where those harm could be, or the trauma in my life. And it's just my mind's way of dealing with it. It's the way I've sort of been able to live with it or call it by name.
What about your music?
My music, I don't write songs about things or feelings, but I could tell you what I was doing in that part of my life when I wrote the song, but it's not particularly about one subject or another, or multitudes of that. I find it less therapeutic and less cathartic than I ever projected it to be. I always felt that it would be, a completion or a better illustration without words.
Sepsis, or the infection causing sepsis, starts before a patient goes to the hospital in nearly 87% of cases. Sepsis is a medical emergency. If you or your loved one has an infection that's not getting better or is getting worse, act fast. Get medical care immediately. Ask your healthcare professional, could this infection be leading to sepsis? And if you should go to the emergency room. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.
Do you envy other people and their dreams when they talk about dreams, when they talk about happy dreams? Or does it just...
Well, since I like to keep my dreams to myself, I don't really like to talk to people about what they're dreaming about.
Well, no, that's what this whole thing's about. That's what this whole thing's about. Because one thing that we talk about, here in RPA and a lot of different shows, see, a lot of people won't talk about the paranormal and the outside world that usually bothers them because they don't, they don't feel that safe place to be able to sit there and talk about stuff like that. And one thing that everybody does one way or another, most of the time, hopefully, because it helps your mental capabilities, is dreams.
Yes. Well, I feel like, maybe sometimes my body or mind is getting bored and all the chemicals are flowing or starting to reuptake or starting to process or rejuvenate again. It just maybe just comes all out of whack, or maybe it was the substance abuse that allowed these things to flood or flow so freely that they just do so on their own, or they just don't know how to be regulated or balanced. These are all just hypotheticals.
No
idea.
No, well, it seems like, that you're viewing your past where you're at right now. Because, back when you're younger, it seems like you keep on talking about substance.
Well, that's been most of my life up until a few months ago,
So what actually changed?
All the LSD taking, all the excessive drug use, hard drugs, staying up for nights on end. It would be more of a comfort to me when I slept because I knew I wouldn't dream so much. I'd fall into a harder sleep after staying up a few nights, and I actually wrote a lot of that music doing that too. Not dreaming for nights on end. I was on a drug called Remeron before, and it would put you to sleep and suffocate or stop you from dreaming.
So it did stop you from dreaming?
Yeah, I took it for about 8 months or so. I was out of
luck. So how did that make you feel? Did it kind of just constipate you, or?
Well, I think I started feeling like medicating it was just another fallacy for what was going on in my head, and so I stopped taking it on my own, and the dreams came right back, and things were resumed as normal, which I feel in my head that it's more of a natural course instead of a medicated one. So that was the only drug that really worked. It's really Remeron is what it was called. I was prescribed to it by a dream or sleep specialist that was a psychiatrist. He said I was exhibiting more signs of PTSD even in my unconscious hours. So, you know, I listened to him and tried it for a while and felt that was unhealthy as well.
So what made you change?
My own mind.
How long did that take?
Usually my mind is changed within seconds, but it's usually not other people's influence or words that do that. I felt, you know, I took the drug for a while and I felt like I wasn't dreaming. I was maybe getting more better sleep and sleeping more often, but, you know, it was just not the same. Not my natural self. You know, I can deal with it more as an adult now. Easier, you know, I can process, you know, the pain or the tragedy or whatever has shaken me from my slumber, and I can just process it a lot easier and more maturely and try to drive that all that energy that, you know, I wake with, that bad mood, into something, you know, like music or something more productive or something more tangible.
So do you hear music in your dreams?
Not at all. No, it's usually scoffed or overwhelmed by the environment or what's going on. And yeah, not too pretty. But the sounds are not really what I remember at all about the dreams. Cries of help and winds twisting, things like that.
Well, let's try this out. We're going to play one of your tracks.
Ooh.
And they're going to come back and we're going to just discuss a little bit, and we're going to see what the input of this music when the dreams, and get some advice, what you think might help yourself and others. And yeah, let's just see. So, Donnie, what did actually that come from?
Feelings of feeling defeat, helplessness, you know, sadness, I guess. Feelings, you know, that you couldn't escape or things you had to deal with. Not necessarily feelings of depression, but feelings of responsibility to that emptiness that I sort of embodied. And It sort of came to me as a song idea. I wrote it in 30 seconds, I think. And it just sounded naturally, and all these things started coming together. And eventually, it became an emotion that I was having. And then I named it Defeated. But before that, it didn't have really a name and an emotion to it. And it was very sorrowful and somber, right where I wanted it to be. And I just couldn't stand that either. So I had to noise it up, put some air compressors and some hissing synths and electric guitar, and sort of, detach from that melancholy kind of thing going on there. And it's become one of my favorite songs, one of my most popular as well, on SoundCloud, that is. And its success has gathered me many listeners, and I sort of use it as my divergenizing, break the ice kind of song, and usually the first one I like to play. I usually locks the listener in a lot. But not necessarily about anything in particular, but I wish I could just sort of designate it as one thing besides Defeated. But I felt like this many times in my life.
That you felt defeated?
Yes, powerless. To help or to hurt or to feel or harm or learn. Things like that. I'm sure everybody sort of, all your listeners can sort of, relate to a lot of these things.
So, since you're talking about the listeners, what advice actually can you give from your experience, from your, your past? That's where you gather your strength. That's yes. What leads you into a new tomorrow.
Yes.
Because, that's a gift. So if you can actually look within yourself and the tribulations and everything that you've been through, for the people that are out there trying to survive and living day by day, because, they're going through rough times. What actually advice you think you can actually give them?
Well, up until recently, when I told myself everything was going to be okay, I really was lying to myself and a lot of people. Now that all these crazy things have, and all these vicissitudes have really come to light, it enabled me to really say it. And now when I say everything is going to be okay, I really do believe it is. And advice, as far as I'm concerned, don't take your dreams too seriously. If they're always shitty, they're always shitty.
Yeah, you're on a Phantom cast, so you could say shit.
Okay, well, shitty.
I'll allow you to say shit.
Okay, thank you.
I say crap a lot, so.
I don't think God's listening to this radio station, so. He's tuned into somewhere else.
Aaron's out there, so he's going to be listening to it, so he'll be like, you can say shit, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's more real.
Yeah, well. Either way, advice for your listeners is don't take yourself too seriously and don't diagnose yourself, and especially don't listen to anybody else's diagnosis nonsense. Just take it one day at a time. If you have bad dreams all the time, just pray for more nocturnal admissions like I do.
That's a way to go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, that gentleman right there sitting across from me, that is the young Mr. Donnie King. Yes. And where can they see some of your stuff if they just want to pull it up and just check it all out?
Oh, well, I think I'm mostly under a pseudonym by Kamikaze Anomaly on SoundCloud. But you can look me up as D King. K-I-N-G, I'm usually on Facebook. I usually just use it for art and visual work I do.
We didn't even get into the visual art, man. You're an artist. No, your art is real good. I told you when you were very young, your trade should have been into a tattoo artist, since it was so, how would they call that, deviant art?
A lot of it's ethereal, and most of it's just morbid abstract. I have a thing for Siamese twins, so it's kind of strange.
Well, one man's morbid is another man's art, so.
Oh, yes, it is.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, don't forget on Monday, that's Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast with your host. Yeah, his name is Mr. Aaron Hunter. He's been doing this for a good couple years, so why don't you check him out? You probably checked him out because this is his site anyway, so if you haven't checked it out, you're really missing something, because that's the man. On Tuesday, you have Aaron's horror show. This isn't with Aaron Hunter. This is with Aaron Frail. And basically, he goes through a lot of horror stories, horror movies. Dude, no, he really gets, well, he's a writer too.
Oh.
So he's writing a book called Scanners, and it's about, let me break this down since I listen to this. It's about different, how could you explain this? Alternate universes that come together as one, but people pop in and out of these different dimensions.
It's multiverse kind of
thing. Yeah, it's a multiverse thing, but the more they pop in and out of these multiverses, the thinner the fabric gets.
Oh.
And the problem is, the more they pop in,
the lines blur.
Yeah, well, it could destroy that universe.
Oh.
So, there's a problem. You probably can't get back. I'm probably paraphrasing the way, he's probably going, you're screwing up my story. No, Aaron Frail is one of the best. He is a very good writer.
Leave it to him to tell you.
And he narrates his story. And he also does, like I said, he talks about movies and horror. So, because there's a lot of crap out there.
As far as music goes, too, it's very uninspiring.
Well, no, you're true. It's true. See, that's why I watch, when it comes time to watch TV or anything, I don't watch normal TV anymore.
No.
I either watch, because one side's saying one thing, one side's saying the other, I watch wrestling.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because wrestling, it's going to be rigged one way or another. But it's always the cowboy versus the Indian, or it's the Arab versus the American, the big thing, it's the big conflict. But in the middle, the story always comes together.
I like all the sweat.
You would like the sweat.
The sweat.
Okay, let me get to the other show real quick before we get off on this. The other show that is on RPA that I need to let you know to go ahead and listen to is Terry's Mysterious Moments, and that's with Terry. He comes out on Wednesday. So Monday, Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast. Tuesday, Aaron's Horror Show. Wednesday, Terry's Mysterious Moments, and usually the Sandman Lullaby comes out about every other Thursday around there when, I can get in the studio and drag somebody in here and talk about nocturnal emissions.
Which I'm sure is the most sexiest.
Yeah, there we go. You got anything to say before we set the world free there, Mr. King?
Thank you for listening.
Dude, as always. Let me not forget this. If you want to get in touch with me, don't forget email sandmanlullaby. That's sandmanlullaby @gmail.com. I can't wait to listen to you. I can't wait to hear from you. And just send me something. I'm very lonely out here. I'm a lonely old man. I'm gone. I'll talk to you. Peace. And until next time, you've been in the Sandman Lullaby. Ha 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 ha.